Hello again. Hey, Sarasota. This is Current Tides with Betty and Friends. My name is, in fact, Betty, and you are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 Sarasota, as well as WBPV LP 100.1 in Bradenton. So for those of you that have been following this show, my little dog, Millie, is in the house today. She took off on me, and I had to go find her, and I found her on my way to the studio. So she's a secondary guest, but my primary guest is a lovely, very accomplished woman by the name of Ronnie Miller. And so, Ronnie, say hello to your audience.
Hi. I'm glad to be here. I really think that it's fun to be interviewed now.
good. Well, it's lovely to have you. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, my format is very unscripted. And we always want to know, and I always want to know, where my guest is from. So where you hail from, what your inspiration is and was, what you've been doing all these years. And we'll end the program with what you're doing now and what you'd like the listening audience to know about you. So let's begin with your beginnings.
Well, I began, of course, as a very young child, and that was in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And in New Jersey, I had, I loved to be read to. And my parents did read to me all the time. And I knew at about 3 or 4 that I was going to be a writer. And somebody asked me a little bit later, and I was a little bit older, maybe 5, 6, 7. Well, what would you like to do, dear, when you grow up? Do you want to be a nurse or do you want to be a teacher? And I said, I want to be a writer. And they looked at me like I was off and very strange. But I knew in my heart that's exactly what I wanted to do. And for me, it was also a way, I was a very quiet and very shy child. So for me, it was a chance to actually tell my stories. I told my stories in my head and I wrote them down. And I was very creative. So that was how everything started. But what I didn't realize was that was actually a beginning for me that later on in my life, I was going to start a program to help other people write, to get their feelings and memories and experiences out of themselves and into stories. But going backwards again, I went through my early schooling as a very fair-haired child, always writing, and the teachers all like that. But when I got to college, I realized in my first freshman year of my first year of school that I wasn't getting the same grades I was getting when I was in all my other earlier life. And I wanted to know why. And I asked the professor and he said, this is not a creative writing class. This is an expository writing class. And I looked at him and I said, well, exactly what does that mean? He says, well, you write facts. You write. And then I learned something that I didn't want to learn, but the creative part of me was rebelling. I went on to my second year of college and went into another classroom, and I had a professor, and most of the people in the class were whining and very concerned because he wasn't giving out very good grades. And I listened very carefully to what he said. And then I started writing what and the way in the format that he wanted, and I got A's. So that was another learning curve for me, that if you're going to write for an audience, you have to know what your audience is looking for.
So once you're out of college, when did you first start writing or publishing, and what were you first writing?
When did I start to publish? I probably started publishing very soon afterwards, but it was in a very small, I guess it was a small magazine at the time, it was a poem. And when I got published, I was very, very excited. And then I tried to publish other things, and I got a lot of rejections. So through those years, I was getting a lot more rejections than I was getting acceptances.
And that's just the arts.
But I was just determined that I was going to continue. Even though I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself, my gut felt that this is the only thing I can do. I mean, I needed to express what I was feeling and what I was seeing.
So quick question. Were you living in New York at this time?
No, I was still in New Jersey. I got married, lived in New Jersey. I had three children. I lived in New Jersey. And just after I got out of that marriage is when I moved up to Woodstock, New York.
Well, what happened all those years while you were married and had kids? Were you writing in that span of time?
Always writing.
So take us a little bit from after your school years when you're actually doing it as a profession.
I wasn't actually professional. I was just writing. I wrote for the school newspaper, and I just kept writing.
So how did you survive prior to getting married?
I got married as soon as I graduated.
Oh, okay.
So I was taken care of by my father, and then when I got married, I was taken care of by my husband.
I see. Okay.
And that was the case until I got out of my first marriage.
Right.
And then I was teaching. I started teaching just prior to getting out of the marriage. And I was doing plays for my children's schools. So those plays were being put on at their schools. And then when I started teaching, I was in a private college preparatory school called Newark, New Jersey. It was actually in Newark, but it was actually in Livingston, but it was at... But at any rate, I was teaching I was teaching English, and I was having the kids do their plays and write plays. Mm-hmm. So those plays were being produced, and that was another avenue that I started going in. I wasn't making any money. I was just doing all of that. And I left teaching at Newark Academy and went out into the big world and was doing public relations work. And I also was working in an advertising agency. And that's when I learned a lot more skills about how to put the material out to people and what they needed. But I was still writing. I always wrote in order to express what I was feeling, even though those pieces and stories and essays got stuffed into a file and put into my file drawer.
What style of writing do you like best?
I'm a fiction writer.
Yeah, but I was going to ask you about that.
I do essays, poetry, plays, nonfiction articles, and all of those have been published. And I've just finished doing a play, a two-act play, and it's now waiting to get staged. So
do you get commissioned to do plays,
nope.
Or do you just do it of your own volition, and then you try to market them to various...
Yes. You see, I did sort of learn what that first professor had said to me, that you have to do this and you have to do that. Mm-hmm. But there is a stubborn part of me that wants to do what I want to do.
Well, that's where you find your voice, and that's where people can capture your voice.
Right. And it took me a long time to even know what my voice was. As I say to my students, I have been teaching this program for now, going into this 28th year. And I also have a private practice where I help people birth their books. I'm a book midwife.
Did you come up with that term?
No, I was very fortunate, actually, because one of my clients who'd been working with me for a very long time, maybe over 10 years on her books, and one day she said to me, we're sitting around the table, and she said, do you know who you are, Ronnie? And I said, yeah, I think I know who I am. And she said, no, I really mean, do you know who you really are? And I said, okay, so who am I? She said, you're a book midwife. You've been helping me birth my books.
Oh.
And I said, can I use that? So that's where I got the title.
I love that. That's too cool. That's wonderful. So, yeah, writing is very, it can be very tedious, I'm sure.
Oh, for me, it's another place it's my other life.
Ah,
it is
so
actually my life.
Really?
For me, writing is a place to go off to. When I'm upset, I turn to my writing. rarely when I'm happy, but usually when I'm confused or I'm upset or it's also a way for me to vent. And so for me, writing is just my outlet. But the outlet usually turns into fiction. So a number of my stories, including one that won an award, was pure expressive writing.
So let's talk about that one. What's it called? And let's find out also what the award was. But first, tell us what the piece is.
Well, the piece is called Above Fins. Hmm. And at the time that I wrote this, I was married to my second husband. And he was not very available to me in terms of being emotionally available. And that was a difficult thing for me.
Was it because in some way of the writing? Did he feel like because he couldn't ever be part of that? Did he feel jealous?
He also didn't feel so much that he was jealous. He claimed, it's not about me, so I'm not interested.
Oh, lovely.
And so was not a very good marriage, but there were good parts to it and not so good parts too.
Uh-huh.
But the part that didn't work for me was that he wasn't emotionally available to me. And this was at a time also when I was really starting this program, Write It At, did not really know exactly what it was going to be, but was doing it anyway. And
the marriage or the writing?
This program, writing.
Okay.
the marriage I kept thinking is going to get better. I'm a positive thinking person, and I always think that, you know, it's going to get better.
Right.
I can just break down some walls,
uh-oh,
it'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
So the story actually was a surprise to me that it won an award. It won an award from the National League of American Pen Women, and the reason it was a surprise is because for me, it was pure expressive writing. Although it was fictionalized, and it was, most of my fiction is 80% fiction and 20% reversed.
Mm-hmm.
80% true and 20% not.
Gotcha.
So it was a surprise when I did win this award. It actually won first place. And it said something to me. It said that if when you are telling your or giving expressing yourself in your authentic voice, that's what really makes it true and authentic.
Absolutely.
And although I did fictionalize some of the places and what happened, the irony was that in the story, the male protagonist dies, and his ashes are scattered in a fishing river that he used to like to fish in.
Hmm.
When my husband died several years after this story was written and after I'd won this award, his family wanted to have his ashes scattered in the river that he fished in.
Isn't that something?
So it was really an ironic situation. And it's a little scary in a way because sometimes you write about things.
And
they
comes
actually
to fruition. Right. Well, congrats on that.
Thanks.
So did you feel like that really gave you a leg up in the industry?
No, at that point, I felt very, very happy to get to win this award. I had won some other awards before that, and it really gave me, that's maybe, as you put it, a leg up. I began to feel that my material was okay. And one of my, I only had really one mentor in my life, and his name was Arturo Vivanti.
Mm-hmm.
I had met him in Italy. I spent a lot of time in Italy. That's why I do workshops in Italy. And when I met him, he had just been publishing all his short stories in The New Yorker. And we became friends. And he loved my writing. But because he was a friend of mine, I didn't really take that too seriously. Like, oh, just because you're my friend, you really like my writing. And he said, no, you really have to publish this. Well, it took me many years to get one of the stories out that I had shown him. And actually, that story is going to be coming out in a new book that's coming out in late August, another book of short stories. I have one book of short stories already. It's a collection. This will be in another collection of short stories. So things take a long time.
Do you have a pen name or do you use Ronnie Miller?
Ronnie Miller is my name.
That's awesome. So, folks, if you're just tuning in to WSLR, and that's what you are listening to on 96.5 FM in Sarasota, our sister station is WBPVLP 100.1 in Bradenton. And we are also part of the same complex of Fogartyville. And it's run for the people, by the same people who run this radio station. And Fogartyville, if you haven't been, is a must-see and a must-do. We have amazing artists, mostly musical artists, but even visual artists. And it's a really great place. And there's always a food van outside and lots of interesting people come here. And we are in Sarasota, just a pinch north of Fruitville, off of, well, kind of near Orange, I guess. Anyway, so we are speaking with a very esteemed writer. Her name is Ronnie Miller. Tell us where you were born and raised. Did we talk about that?
Well, I was born in New Jersey, and I guess I could say I was raised there.
Right.
But when you were speaking about, it was something just reminded me, when I first came down here to Sarasota, and I've lived in New Jersey, and then I moved to Woodstock, New York, and then from Woodstock, New York, I moved to Bermuda, and then from Bermuda, I came down here to Sarasota. But when I came to Sarasota, there was a magazine that had just come up on, just began, mm-hmm. and it was called Panache. And I started writing for this magazine.
Are they still around? I don't remember their name.
They're not around anymore. Oh, I think they only were up for maybe 6 or 7 years. But for those 6 or 7 years, when I first came down, I was writing essays, personal essays in that. And it was wonderful for me because I had a home to put my material. And for a writer to have a home that somebody wants to have your material is a wonderful thing.
It is. Was this a weekly
It came of out, thing? No, it came out, I believe it came out seasonally. It was maybe every other month or something of that. It was quite, I'm down here now 20, it'll be going into 28 years.
Oh, that's
so
a long time.
So it was a long time ago.
Right, right.
But just from the standpoint of having a home to put your material. And it was a magazine for women, by women. And as a matter of fact, when I first came down here, my first name is R-O-N-N-I now. But it had an E on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the editor said, can we take off the E so it'll appear that you're a female with Ronnie Miller?
That makes sense.
And I said, sure, that's fine. So I still got mail to Mr. Ronnie, R-O-N-N-I, Miller.
Right. Interesting. And what was the breadth of your writing when you say you wrote essays? Because that's a little bit different than fiction or poetry, obviously. So what was the nature? Was it, you said it was more of a personal thing?
I did a lot of personal essays. In my career, I've also worked as a reporter and an editor on newspapers and magazines. When I was a reporter, I used to do personal profiles. So I would interview people, and I would sit with them for a long time, and I'd, you know, write their stories. And you say essays are different from stories and poems. Well, from my standpoint, the initial aspect is the same. It's coming from inside. That's how I write. So if an essay that I write, I'm talking about some particular situation and experience, and then I'll write it from that perspective. The fiction, when I do fiction, I may take the same experience and just throw in some fiction for it. Poetry is also another way of expressing how I feel. And so all of my work, I would say, falls into the category of expressive writing. And that's when I didn't even know the term expressive writing. I've been doing it all my life. But it was not until maybe 15 years ago that I discovered the term expressive writing. And I said, oh, you mean there's a term for what I do? And that term came from, I read an article in the American Medical Association magazine that was written by James W. Pennebaker. And he, I since found out, was, he is a research psychologist. And he has known all over the world for his work in expressive writing. And by using the expressive writing, it helps people get things out of their system.
I see.
And so, although I don't, when I teach now, I teach a lot of expressive writing. So I don't do what he does, since he's a psychologist or he's a research psychologist. And having people talk about the trauma that has happened in their lives and write about it. And that's a healing aspect of, I've worked with cancer patients and we use that same format. But I don't talk about trauma because I'm not a psychotherapist.
Yeah.
I'm a writer.
Right. Can I just ask you a quick question? So now that you've talked a little bit about expressive writing, so is there such a thing as non-expressive writing? Because, I mean, I would think that what makes a book or any kind of written piece good is the fact that it's not just conversational. It can have conversation, but isn't it something that's a little bit heightened from the average everyday experience to draw in the reader?
Well, you draw in the reader when you say something that they can understand and they can relate to. It's making a bridge to your reader is what I say to my students.
Right.
So that you draw on your own experiences. And then, of course, you can fictionalize it, just like in theater when you're acting. You may have a part as a waitress, but you never were a waitress. You maybe served your family. So you have to borrow some of the things that you knew and know, because that's the human experience. I also teach play reading, and I do that from the human experience. So to answer your question, yes, it really, it's the authenticity of what we as humans are that we can relate to what someone else is going through. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's exactly what you have experienced, but if you've experienced loss, for example, you can then experience it through the words of someone else losing something or someone. And that makes it the authenticity that you are trying to reach your audience with. And the more you write authentic, you will then, it will sound as if you really know what you're talking about.
Right.
And other people will feel that way. Oh, I had that experience.
Yes.
I know what that's about.
Right, right.
So that's how you make the bridge to the reader.
Interesting. So how about we spend the last part of this program, because we have a little bit more time, and I know that you're working on something. You've also given workshops. So first of all, let's go over how people can reach you. We're talking with Ronnie Miller here in Sarasota, originally from New Jersey, and you lived in Bermuda.
We never said New Jersey.
New Jersey, I know. Where did they get that from? So what
some parts of New Jersey, people say it that way, but not the northern part of New Jersey.
So how can interested people or parties get in touch with you?
Well, I do have a website, and the website is www.writeitout.com.
Write as in W-R-I-T-E.
Yes, W-R-I-T-E-I-T.
O-U-T.
O-U-T. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way. You know, you can go there. You'll find out all the information about the courses that I teach. Where else I teach, I fell in love with Italy very many, many years ago. And so I've gone back and forth to Italy for many years. And as a result, I do teach writing workshops in Italy. The next one is coming up in October. And you can find that on my website if you're interested. It's a writing retreat as well as a workshop. And it's open to any level of student.
So what if there's somebody that's a rank beginner and then you get somebody that's almost heading towards making a living? Would it not be something that might be frustrating for the more advanced writer?
No, because the way that I facilitate my workshops, everyone goes to their own experiences and how that comes out. And most, for all the 27 or going into 28 years that I've been teaching, the people who come out to take my workshops are people who like to write. And if you like to write, and you just, even if you've just written in journals, you're still writing.
True.
And it's not a question of level. It's a question of authenticity.
How long are these workshops, by the way, in Tuscany?
The Tuscany workshop is a week. It's a it goes from the 16th to the 24th this year, and it's in a little town called Panzano. And it's not too far from Florence. It's about 35 minutes from Florence and about the same equidistance to Siena and San Gimignano. But it's a beautiful villa. It's been in the same family has owned it since the Renaissance. And it's an experience not to miss.
Isn't that fabulous? I love this. That's
and the food,
wonderful.
And also you can take a cooking, you can do cooking there. They'll teach cooking too.
The same family that still, and they still live there.
Yes, it's actually a 4-star hotel.
And what's the hotel called?
Villa Labrone.
Labrone. Mm-hmm. Villa Labrone.
Barone. Barone.
Labrone. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And it's, besides all the other things that I do besides teaching, I also am a book, as I said, a book midwife. So I really love to help other people get their stories out because I didn't have that in my life. There wasn't somebody that was helping me do what I do. I really had to do it all on my own.
Do you have any people that you'd say were great influences on your writing insofar as well-known, you know, published writers that people would know?
Well, as I said, Arturo Vivanti, when I first met him, I didn't even know that he was a writer or anything about him. I met him in his villa. I had my children with me, and my husband was there, and we spent a week there. After I left, I discovered that he had been writing short stories for The New Yorker. And we did talk a little bit about the fact that he was writing when we were there. And he used the term, well, I write autobiographical fiction. And I said, you do? You mean...
Yeah, keep going. We have another minute.
That's what I do.
Yes.
So that's what my work is, and he was a very big influence in
anybody
in my
else
work.
That you recommend in terms of writing books that you love? Like what are the best books that you recommend?
I read I can't even tell you because I read so much, and I read mostly fiction.
Ah.
And Isabel Allende is one of my favorites.
Allende. Yeah, Isabel Allende. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
Is one of my favorite.
I love it. She was from Chile.
Yes,
yes,
Chile.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to come to an end, but I'd love to have you on. And next time, how about if we get some excerpts of your poetry and have you read poetry? So how about if we have you on next couple of months and we'll take it from where we left off today.
Okay, sounds wonderful.
It's been so lovely having you. Ronnie Miller, we're going to have you back if that's okay with you.
That sounds great.
Wonderful. And I hope that for any writers who want to do that or who are in the process of writing or have written, I hope that you all found that as inspiring as I did. Have a lovely evening. Here goes Richard Wolff with Economic Update. Have a great evening, everyone.